are not going down a failed path. And I wanted to tell you something. This is a pattern. The guy that's here now that wrote that contract cost Texas A&M $70-something million. Right now, we got a $53 million liability. We are not doing that again. And you know what? I believe that we're going to find a great coach. I mean, maybe we'll let President Trump pick it. He loves winners. You know, I'm not going to be picking the next coach. But I can promise you, we're going to pick a coach, and we're going to make sure that that coach is successful, and we're going to make sure that he's compensated properly, and we're going to put metrics on it, because I'm tired of rewarding failure in this country and then leaving the taxpayers on the foot, you know, to foot the bill. So, yeah, I absolutely. Who's that? No, I can tell you right now, Scott Woodward is not selecting the next coach. Hell, I'll let Donald Trump select it before I let him do it. I don't know, but the Board of Supervisors is going to come up with a committee, and they're going to go find us a coach.
Good evening. What a day. It is never a dull moment in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It is never a dull moment in an LSU coaching search, but I always stand by what I stand by. I do care for all of your political beliefs. I do. I think every single one of you should have political beliefs. I do not do politics on here, unless, of course, it bleeds over into LSU football. And in this case, it is the story. So understand that if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, any of that, you're always welcome here on PHL. Any religion, any walk of life, you're always welcome here. So everything I'm about to say is not Jeff Landry related or, it is Jeff Landry related, but it's not political. I'm not making any societal claims whatsoever because I want everybody to be here. But that was very, very, very crazy. Okay, there's just no other way around it. If President Trump can get us Lane Kiffin, sure, I'm down. If whoever can get us Lane Kiffin to Baton Rouge, that's my number one candidate. And we obviously had a former college football personnel guy make his prediction in Cooper Pitagna that Lane Kiffin would be the next LSU coach. But I will tell you that there are quite a few who are way more plugged in than me, way higher up the ladder when it comes to being an insider than me, that thinks that did not do us any favors, Jeff Landry saying that. Where I do agree with him, though, is that Scott Woodward cannot make this next football hire. I do agree with him on that. Or at least he can't make this hire alone. Now, he didn't make the last hire alone, but it was definitely a situation where it was a let Scott cook situation. Now, before I continue with my thoughts on Woodward, I hate it for Scott that happened to him today. Okay, once again, everything I say is not political. Scott should not have been in that spot today. I feel bad for him. This guy loves Louisiana. This guy went to high school in Baton Rouge. I feel really bad for him. I understand he is a millionaire many times over. And I understand he feels guilty that his name will forever be attached to Brian Kelly and not be attached to Jay Johnson and Kim Mulkey, which are two of the best hires in any sport over the past 5 years. We always remember the negative and compared to the positive. My negative predictions get remembered more than the positives. Think about whoever you know in entertainment. Even if it's your favorite entertainer, you always remember the negatives more than the positives. And Scott has to live with this. So I hate that happened to him today. I don't know Scott. I'm not carrying his water. I hate that happened for him. And I think if you were in Scott's shoes, you would feel the same way about that. But I do agree with Governor Landry that it cannot be Scott Woodward. And you also have to take brutal honesty. Okay? Now, that is kind of, I will say, all of the optics aside, I do give Landry a lot of credit for being brutally honest. That was something that you do, you know, kind of say, dang, dude, that was bold. That was really, really, really bold. So we'll see what happens next. Now, I do want to defend Scott Woodward and the Brian Kelly hire. I have to. Because when you make a decision in life, you aren't making a decision based on the outcome of that decision. Everything you do in life is a prediction. Every big decision you make, whether it's who you get married to, what song you play next in your car, all those different things, you don't know what the actual results of that decision is going to be. Outside of a few that cover LSU media, including one of our guests who is in our regular rotation, Daily Joy, she has been on this for forever, that Brian Kelly was not the right move. There are so many people that feel the same way. Billy Gamilla, who used to write for And the Valley Shook, a close friend of mine, said at the time that the Brian Kelly hire was not a good hire. All those things are true, okay? What I would say, though, is that no one ever really brought up the cost, because no one thought Brian Kelly would be so disastrously bad that we would fork over 53 or whatever the final number is going to be. It's going to be no less than 20 million, whatever it is. No one brought that up. Now, some did. Some said it was relatively expensive, but no one brought up, hey, he is going to be ceremoniously fired in the middle of year four, especially after how year one went. So I do think, yes, it backfired on Scott Woodward. And yes, he does have to bear quite a bit of the responsibility for this decision to hire Brian Kelly. But let's not act like most people didn't celebrate it. And in that, he deserves some defense. And look, Brian Kelly was considered the safe hire. Someone like Lane Kiffin, who, to my understanding, wasn't really interviewed for the job, that was considered the wild card. That was considered the upside pick, if you will. So I feel really, really, really bad. I really do feel bad for Scott. And I know I shouldn't. It should be, this is your failure. You shouldn't have to live with it. To me, should he have doled out another contract to Brian Kelly after the Jimbo Fisher situation? Probably not. Scott probably should have gone cheap. But you also have to remember that some of his other big game hunting hires did hit. And of the big game hunting hires that he made, two out of three of them not only hit, but exceeded any expectation we could have had for them. I don't think anybody thought Kim Mulkey would win a natty in year two. No one thought Jay Johnson would win a natty two in three seasons. Skip Bertman in the flesh, but shorter. And potentially better, as crazy as that sounds. And that is in the realm of possibility for Jay Johnson. So, yeah, it's tough. I do think, though, that a lot of us would agree that the message would have been delivered a little bit differently. The overarching message, though, is that I do agree that it shouldn't be Scott making this next hire. It shouldn't. Now, here's the thing. Does today cement Scott Woodward as being done as the LSU athletic director? And the answer to that is yes. It would be, could I see him, you know, swallowing his pride and saying, look, I still want to be the guy and lead the LSU athletic department? Sure. Sure. And be so in a smaller capacity and all of that. Yeah, I could see him do that. But wow, whew, dude, it's, that's tough. there is a piece of me that does feel sorry for him. But that's what happens when you are the athletic director of LSU. It doesn't, and here's something else that you have to keep in mind. I am perfectly fine stamping my approval on actual hires and fires. My track record has mostly been good. I was fine with Brian Kelly. It wasn't who I would have gone for, but I didn't even know he was on the table, and I liked the hire. I was wrong. I liked the Mike Dimbrock hire. I was right. I was right about Matt House being a not-so-great hire. The receipts are all there. I was wrong about Joe Sloan. But I said, you probably shouldn't have brought him back for this season. I am on record saying that, but I also understood it. And then Blake Baker is, we'll wait to see. I was really high on Blake Baker. So I say that as someone that studies film, does this every day, talk to other coaches, talk to other administrators, have fun guests. When you're in this every single day, someone like myself who has, I guess you could say, an above average amount of knowledge when it comes to football, you're not going to get all these things right. It is so hard to predict any of this. So I want to be boots on the ground and continue with my overall praise for Lane Kiffin as the next LSU head coach. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Could you go a cheaper model? Is there a cheaper way to go and get another coach and see if it works out? I think so. And we'll talk about a model that was brought up by a friend of the channel here in just a moment. But first, we're going to get to all of your comments. I want to be crystal clear, though. There are plenty of people that watch this that are Republicans. There are plenty of people that watch this that are Democrats, conservatives, liberals, independents. We have Muslim, we have Christian, we have agnostic, we have all different walks of life here. I am just focusing on what Jeff Landry said about the hire because he is involved and the board of directors and all of that. That is, and anytime Jeff Landry does something sports related, I will talk about it. But this is not a political thing, okay? It's got to be clear because the chat can get really toxic involving that. Now, you then get into, do you want Jeff Landry to, how involved do you want him to be in the coaching search? Well, it just depends on the age-old question. Do you want politics and sports to mix? A lot of you don't like politics and sports mixing. A lot of you don't like me talking about a politician right now anyway. But what I would tell you, as far as politics and sports mixing, is that, number one, it's always mixed. It's always been intertwined, and it always will be intertwined. Especially more so, I could say, at the professional level, when you get into how stadiums get funded with taxpayer dollars and all of it. So it's always been intertwined, okay? Then, of course, you get into the actual hire itself. Well, let's just say you're Lane Kiffin and you watch that today. Does that make you more excited to go take the job? Lane is a Donald Trump supporter. So I think he would be fine with what Jeff Landry said. But at the same time, would you want Jeff Landry to be like involved with his job? I don't know. I don't know if Jeff would be or whatever. But from the outside looking in, there's plenty of people that view today as wild. Okay? As wild. It was crazy. Let's go to sourdough. Once again, I don't want to get into like personal things about Landry. At all. I will say, and I still stand by what I said at the end of the live stream, before we talk about statues or anyone else, Joe Burrow's statue has got to go up. That's number one. Like, I think that's like the biggest no-brainer. And I know that they'll probably wait when he's retired, which is probably going to be 5 to 10 years from now. I want that thing up now. Like, I don't think that should really be up for debate. That's a different story for a different day. I want to include, though, I've been to Waco, Texas. I visited Baylor Stadium. One of the coolest things is that they have a statue of Robert Griffin III out front. If RG3 can have one, we can get one from Joe Burrow, minus the cornball commentary, which I kind of like. I kind of like some cornball jokes. Anyone that could tell you that, that knows about me. I like the occasional puns and all of that, but RG3 is out on overdrive. We need a Joe Cool statue. But other than that, we'll keep this politics free. With the cigar? Okay, let's go to Kaz. He says, I'm a Reagan Republican. Landry, Show Enough ask. And I know Show Enough as well, personally. Was BK having to put up with this BS behind the scenes? I don't know. That's above me. Let's go to Investing with Cole. I need your help with that. I actually met with a pretty big investor today, locally. Not letting Scott Woodward make the next hire is firing your head coach because the first-round pick wasn't a Pro Bowler. It's not science. A&M wanted Jimbo Fisher. You got him. I just think the price is what – the optics of it is what makes it bad. So last night I was on Blake's show, and he and I got into it a little bit because – Blake was sharing that the specifics of what happened with Jimbo Fisher, his extension was signed off by a different athletic director. My pushback to Blake was, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Which sucks, because he's right. It's not entirely on Scott what happened with Jimbo Fisher. It's not. But it doesn't matter. There are some things where it doesn't matter. And in this case, the details do not matter. It's the headlines. And that was made true today. Okay? I did. I'm just saying, I've already said I agreed with them. Okay? Show Enough says, the only people that matter is the boosters if they're unhappy about ROI. All right, now I want to get into a few other things, even though I think most of you want to talk about what happened today. Let's go through a few other candidate names that have drawn interest. And let's start with Kelvin Shepard. So T-Bob had a few friends at the channel, Brandon Taylor, who's never been on here before. I'd love to have him. Braden Fioco, who has an open invite. He's not responded to my DM, but he does follow the channel. So, Braden, if you're watching this, we'd love to have you on. I think my audience would love to have you on. And then Michael Brockers, who's been on here before. He joined us from the Super Bowl, if you remember. And all four of them are on board with Kelvin Shepard. Now, I have been able to listen to the full interview that they did, but, you know, as far as Kelvin is concerned, it's a lot on his plate to go from where he is with the Detroit Lions to having to resurrect the LSU football program. Now, once again, the price is probably going to be more affordable than if you were to go get Eli Drinkwitz or someone like that. But whether it's Kelvin Shepard or Joe Brady, when it's coming from the NFL level back to the college level, you always wonder with the coordinators who don't have head coaching experience, how much of their success is it chalked up to the players that they have? See, the NFL is different than college. You can have a star quarterback that makes your offense. Now, when it comes to Joe Brady, he has been better than Ken Dorsey or arguably Brian Daboll was with Josh Allen. Joe Brady has also developed a really interesting run game with the Buffalo Bills. But, you know, with Joe Brady as well, he's never been a head coach. Kevin Shepard has never been a head coach. You have to ask those same questions if you want to hire an offensive coordinator with no head coaching experience. So, you know, I feel like those two names have been the most common in the chat. Kevin Shepard has been the most common. I will say this from a purely fan perspective. LSU fanboy Carter. Purple and gold hard Carter. All right. I would be the most excited if Kevin Shepard was the next head coach. I would probably run through 12 brick walls. I think a lot of you feel that way. I think most of you would be the most excited if it was Frank Wilson or Kevin Shepard. That would be the most fitting, right? I don't think that's going to happen. Now, of course, if Frank Wilson goes 4-0, there's going to be a lot of steam. A lot of steam for Frank. And it's not going to cost as much. And you would have framework, okay? It would also make the roster turnover a lot easier. Now, next thing, and I wanted to save this for 20-plus minutes into this live stream. I intentionally decided to not have a guest tonight because I want to make the chat the star. We had a really good guest last night in Cooper Pataglia, okay? Ed Orgeron made an appearance, and it was on an ESPN radio show with Evan Cohen, and he said if LSU called, he would take him back. He would come back. It was a really good follow-up question as well. Do you want to get back into coaching, and would you come back to LSU in a lesser capacity? And Ed Orgeron said yes. Now, you're telling me Carter, Frederick Theodore Bryant IV from Point Coupee Parish, you're telling me I could have Ed Orgeron back here as a defensive line coach under Lane Kiffin? Sign me up. But Carter, what about how Orgeron left the place and all the practice stuff that you heard and all of that? And look, my wife is the biggest Ed Orgeron fan on the planet. My mom is as well. I don't know if Ed likes me because, well, I was very critical of his tenure. And, you know, before 2021 began, I was like, we need to think about things here. But let bygones be bygones. Now, it would be weird. Let's just bring it up. Lane Kiffin comes back, and Ed Orgeron is up for being the defensive line coach. Would he take a demotion? Yes. Yes. In fact, I think he would prefer that instead of being the head coach. That sounds crazy, but I think he would prefer it. But, you know, as far as Ed Orgeron coming back to be the LSU head coach, it's not happening. But I'm not going to address that anymore. I think a lot of you are better. Thank you, Legendary CEO. I listened to the stream 3 to 4 times. Yesterday was one of the best episodes we ever had on here. Let's go to David. What about Tyrann Mathieu? Yeah, well, that would be the most popular pick. Nah. But how much do you take into the Robert Griffin report that Tyrann Mathieu is indeed interested? I don't know. Now, we did get a Venmo to start the live stream, and it comes from Julie. Julie says, just thank you for keeping us informed. I will always say this to you, Julie. Thank you so much. I am really excited to announce that, and we're not doing anything unless something pops up here. Or am I? I don't know. I will be in Baton Rouge tomorrow. There probably won't be a live stream tomorrow unless something crazy breaks and I have to go live. I kind of am interested if there is a business in Baton Rouge that would want me to set up. The problem is, it's like, how would this happen? Whatever. I'll come do my show tomorrow in Baton Rouge. if there's a business from Baton Rouge that's watching this now, I'll come do it. I'll just come do it from your place. Because I'm getting a chance to DJ PHLer's wedding on Friday night. I do think I need to do a show tomorrow, though. The demand is too high right now. The time is too important. I never thought during a bye week, because when I took this opportunity, I said, I'm just not going to do a show Thursday night. I didn't know that this would be one of the biggest weeks in LSU football history and PHL history. We had 14,000 subscribers. So if you are a business in Baton Rouge, I'd like to come do the show from wherever. Okay. Let's go to Colin. I've always appreciated your support, Colin. Good to see you. What about Kyle Williams, the LSU defensive tackles coach? Well, Kyle Williams staying an extra year would be not the norm, as crazy as that sounds. What's another defensive line coach at LSU? I would not, though. I would keep Kyle around. I would. But, Colin, it changes. Like, for instance, let me put it like this. Let's say Frank Wilson returns or becomes a permanent LSU head coach. I wouldn't bring Orgeron back then. But if Lane is a head coach, it changes a lot. Okay. Let's go to Shownuff. I do not know who this is. Not Shownuff. Am I supposed to know who this is? Oh, okay. Now you have outed me as not knowing my history as well as I should. Type Y for yes and N for no. I forgot. So I know Shownuff well. I won't say his actual name. I forgot you when we had lunch that you're a history buff. I totally forgot you telling me that. Type Y for yes, type N for no if you knew who Chesty Puller was. That you want to know what's crazy about Chesty Puller? That sounds like the perfect name for a five-star left guard. Let's go to Clifford here. I'm glad he opened those doors back up. Did you listen to Andrew Whitworth? I didn't listen to the full thing, but I got the gist of what he was saying, that the doors are back open to former players. As it should be. As it should be. Okay? To a certain extent. If it's a game day, you should limit, like former players and like over, like getting involved in like a game plan and all of that. But other than that, prominent former players should be heavily involved in the program. Now, I would push back a little bit, not on Whitworth, but just the idea that Brian Kelly hated former players. There was plenty of former players who would take photos with Brian Kelly at practice and all of that. I know not all former players disliked Brian Kelly. But it wasn't close to how Orgeron had it. Orgeron is the single most player-friendly coach, maybe ever, when it comes to former players. Okay. Ben Wilkerson for offensive line coach. I like it. Ben Wilkerson was involved in one of the biggest coaching scandals of all time. He was actually the victim of it. Is the Bobby Petrino situation. He wasn't involved in any of the that kind of stuff. It's a long story. Let me go to this. God, dude, this live stream has been crazy. How do I live this life? But long story short, so there was a GA position open at Arkansas, and Ben Wilkerson was up for it. He was one of the finalists for it. Nick Saban wrote a letter of recommendation to Arkansas because it's hard to get your foot in the door. And Ben Wilkerson didn't get it. He was one of the three finalists for this very coveted assistant's job. And the assistant went, the assistant's job to Bobby Petrino went to the girl that was on the motorcycle. So, and honestly, a lot of coaching history in college football comes down to you know what. That's the fall of so many of these coaches. And that's not me being grotesque or graphic. It's the God's honest truth. Okay? So that's a long story short of it. There's more to it than just that. But that's my understanding of it. Okay? There's plenty of stories. Yeah, John, I referenced it a little bit earlier. Michael Brockers, friend of the show. I will also say this about Michael Brockers. You wouldn't have guessed this with how he played because he just caved in so many faces, but he is literally the nicest guy. It's intimidating when, you know, you're standing next to an NFL defensive tackle, knowing that we're around the same age and I played the same position as he did. But guy, dude, he is an awesome, awesome, awesome individual. All right, so coming up next, one of my favorite college football minds on the planet Earth printed out and laid out how he feels the next LSU head coach should be compensated. You've got to see this right after this break. PHL Nation, it's time to lock in and get serious really quickly with our friends at Fortified Gulf Coast and FortifiedGulf.com. This is my buddy, Ramey. He is one of many Fortified Gulf Coast inspection professionals that are doing something to help you not only save your home, but your memories.
The Fortified program got started about 13 years ago. We adopted it here in New Orleans about 2.5 years ago. It's a more advanced way of doing the roof. It adds an extra layer of protection, whereas even if a hurricane was to pull the shingles off this roof, water will still not get into the house.
So yes, your establishment is important, but what about the things you can't replace? That family scrapbook or that painting that's been handed down from Meemaw to Papaw and to you? It is important to protect that today with Fortified Roofing. And while this seems like a priceless asset, did you know it can actually save you on your homeowner's insurance up to 37% if you are in South Louisiana? Just call the number 504-444-7563. That's 504-444-7563. Or visit FortifiedGulf.com. That's FortifiedGulf.com. Let's go. Power Hour Network listeners and viewers, you might be consuming this content with that crick in your back that you've been trying to get rid of for so long. Take this as your sign today to book your appointment with LabordTherapy.com. In the Lafayette region, there is no one that you will find that cares more about any different type of pain that you might have than the team at LabordTherapy.com. Book today. Once again, that's LabordTherapy.com, or you can visit one of their 5 locations all throughout the Lafayette region. All righty, let's talk about friend of the channel who's also been on PHL before, Peter Burns. Okay. He says this about Jeff Landry, but it likely did not make it easier nor cheaper on them to find the next head coach. Okay. He He said the same thing here about Landry that we said earlier. Okay. A few other things that we also brought up. While Woodward did hire Jimbo, he was not responsible for the $77 million buyout. Okay. But once again, okay, I will say this, and I pushed back on the show last night, on Blake's show last night, this just does not matter. This just does not matter. As unfair that is to Scott, I'm telling you right now, nuances don't matter. And part of, that's why part of it, and it, we'll talk about Garrett in a second, but that's why I'm so defensive of Garrett at times, because there have been so many nuances as to why he has stunk up the joint this year at quarterback for LSU. But based on how I see things, I've kind of turned a page on that and how I feel about that. But this is what I wanted to get to from Peter Burns, okay? Would love LSU to completely overhaul the current unhealthy system of CFB head coaching salaries. Now, I will say there is a version of this that's already in place in the SEC. It's just, it was on the other sidelines. The incentive-laden contract of Mike Elko is a thing of beauty, all right? 4-year deal with incentives. $10 million signing bonus on day one, which means the coach will get $10 million a year guaranteed. You make $1 million in salary per year, $500,000 per win, $5 million for CFB playoff spot, $2 million per playoff bye, $3 million per title with a $10 million buyout. He continues. You go 6-6, you make $4 million that year. 9-3, $5.5 million that year. 10-2, up to $20 million if you win the Natty. More salt in the game. He then says LSU is one of the few blue bloods that could make this work. LSU is not for a made man or golden parachute. Three different coaching legacies were made by LSU. And he is right about that. Peter Burns is saying, look, LSU is LSU. LSU makes coaching careers, not the opposite. And he is correct. Nick wouldn't have been Nick without LSU. Ed wouldn't be Ed and Les wouldn't be Les. However, the NFL model is like this, where coaches are making way less than the players. Jim Harbaugh is one of the most heavily compensated coaches in the NFL. He makes $17 million. The quarterback makes $55 million. The left tackle makes more than that. A pass rusher got paid $45 million a year this year, or today. So do you think in the college model, where at the big schools, some of the players you'll be coaching are making more than the coaches are making for that season? How would a lot of head coaches feel about that? I think it'd be different at the collegiate level. But what Peter is saying is, look, we want you to prove it. Earn incentives like you do at almost every single job in America. With the incentive-laden contracts, the more you win, the more you make. And the thing that really angered me about the Scott Woodward contract is, yes, the buyouts and all of that were crazy. But what really grinded my gears, and I'm telling you, really grinded my gears, is Brian Kelly got a bonus at LSU for going 6-6. 6-6. A bonus for going 6-6? At LSU? Not Arkansas. Not Oregon State. Not the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors. We're talking about LSU. So I like that model. I think Mike Elko makes an extra $3 million if he wins the Natty this year. $3 million? You can actually arbitrage that pretty well, betting, if he wants to pull a Terry Rozier if he gets to the national championship game. So, you know, I like that model from Peter. I do. And I do think when it comes to sports and just in all walks of life, that if you are in the entertainment business, or honestly, just any business, and sports is entertainment, the job is always going to be done better if most of the money you make is not guaranteed and not given to you pretty much at signing. It's a big reason why I have a lot of issues with the NBA. Like, if I know, hey, it doesn't matter if I get knocked out in the first round or the last round, I got $40 million in the bank. It's a problem, right? So, you know, with BK, if you listen closely to what others have said about him, he might have made too much money and was like, man, do I really need to go all out? I am at LSU. I do already have Will Campbell. I do already have Monsieur Delane. How much coaching do I really need to do? So I do like the incentive model laid out by Peter Burns. I would love that for the next coach if he's unproven and if he's willing to do it. Let me tell you this. As crazy as this sounds, I would be open to one of these offensive coordinators that I've mentioned being that guy. There's also a lot of other creative ideas I have for the head coach of LSU. And this would be one I would put on Scott's desk. But Scott's not going to make the hire. But if there is an athletic director, I'm about to give you some free game. The freest game, the best idea that I've ever given in my life. Okay. So a lot of these head coaches did not get into coaching football for media. Do you understand how much head coaching guys out there have to do a gazillion interviews throughout the football season? Think about Brian Kelly's interview schedule. Monday, Paul Feinbaum, then right into a press conference. Tuesday, teleconference. Well, that's normally done on Wednesday, but still. Thursday, another press conference with local media, coaches show. Friday, you got to meet with the broadcast crew. That's another media interview that you have to do. I would love in college football for a team to at least try this out. You have co-head coaches. McCarty, that won't work. Says who? I have one head coach whose job it is to do that. It is your job to be the face. And then the other head coach's job is to actually coach football. Now, it's kind of like that now with really good head coaches and the offensive coordinator. But, you know, let's just say, for instance, this search goes sour. And let's just say with what happened today, that a lot of big-name coaches who can do it all says, I don't want to do it now. Why not have Frank Wilson as the face? What better face could you have than the guy who is synonymous with the state of Louisiana, talks like us, recruits Louisiana, all of it. And then just have a co-head coach come in. They make the same amount of money, have the same incentive-laden contracts, and go forward, go from there. Right? Because it's not coaching football that you do as a head coach of the program. 75 to 80%, if not more, as a head coach of the program is you doing stuff that has nothing to do with coaching football. Okay? We got a bunch of Saban in the chat. Let's go to Alexander. He says the thing that hurts him about Governor Landry is that only a UL graduate could destroy LSU football the way he did today. Okay. I'll get back to the Governor Landry comments. Y'all, I think we tend to get caught up in the topic du jour of the day, especially on social media. If what Jeff Landry said happened 10 years ago, there'd be a YouTube clip, but there wouldn't be 1,000 tweets about it. It wouldn't be shared on every blog. It wouldn't have all these different things. We move on from stuff so quickly. Now, if Jeff Landry is doing this like every day, he's doing a Fox News hit, he's doing a thousand different hits where he's basically talking about the LSU coaching search, then yeah. But this will get swept under the rug. Okay, now, if behind the scenes he's calling every shot when it comes to the next head coach and all of that, then that's a problem. But I think today will, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm trying to suppress this flame. But people move on. The LSU job will still be the LSU job. It might not be as tantalizing as it once was because of this and NIL and Nick Saban giving the interview to Chris Lowe saying basically it's not the same. But I do think we might be overreacting just a little bit to what happened today. Maybe I'm wrong. All right. Next thing. I want to talk about Nuss. All right. This was going to be tomorrow's show, but number one, I don't know a gazillion percent if we're going to do a show tomorrow, but I feel like I have to. I will be traveling. I will be in Baton Rouge. I kind of want to have dinner with some of you tomorrow night. Hold on. We have some James Franklin smoke to Virginia Tech. I've seen some of, I saw some of this earlier, but this seems, how much does this affect LSU? It doesn't really, but you know, it kind of sort of does. Did it, because the contract details would be something. Did you see a coach said he wouldn't mind playing under Lane? Oh yeah, we talked about that. Coach O wouldn't mind coaching under Lane at LSU. Yeah, I don't know if he specifically said Lane Kiffin. I would need to go back and listen to the interview, but I did bring up that scenario, and I would be open to Coach O. And I that's probably going to be my most controversial opinion, because I have been so anti Coach O coming back to LSU in any capacity. But I do think with him and Lane Kiffin being so close, it's a little bit different. Okay. Oh, you're in LA, Mom? Okay, let's go. Have dinner at Ruffino's in Baton Rouge or go to Blake's house?
Hey, Bubby, where's that black shirt at? I need to wash your black collared shirt.
No, I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well,
I don't know.
I'm gonna
get
pack you two pairs of black pants.
Okay.
Okay. And I turned the heat on to get the dust off of the. So if you smell a burning, that's what it is.
Okay. Hey, in the house. I want to talk about Garrett, though. All right. So, and LA Mom, I'll let you know. So I'm about to nerd out on you guys. This was one of the more correct opinions. And it wasn't, and I'll be honest, this wasn't an opinion. Okay. This was more so one of my big concerns that actually came to huge fruition. And I think this chart right here is the single most undertold story of why LSU football was so bad this year. All right. So I think a lot of you remember we had a guy on the show before the season. I deleted the clip. And he actually sent, I actually talked to him. Ironically, I talked to him this morning for the first time since he was on. It was a Patreon exclusive interview with an analytics ace by the name of Saeem Jilani. All right. And Saeem is really good with numbers. And we did a 30-minute Patreon thing, but I played a 2-minute clip on the live stream. And I asked him, my biggest concern for LSU was we were the best third and long offense in college football last season. With third and longs being such low percentage plays, do you think it is possible for an offense to survive on third and longs in consecutive seasons? And he said, Carter, that is very highly unlikely. Statistically, it's so hard to be an elite third and long offense. And I warned you guys about that. So why does that matter? So before I show you all this stuff in the charts, all right, third and seven and longer and third and nine and longer, Garrett Nussmeier was the best quarterback in college football, one of the best ever in college football. To the point where Dan Orlovsky tweeted out, went on a long rant about Garrett, about how good he is in those third and long situations. And, you know, in certain film studies this year, we've seen some of that third and long magic happen, some of which have ended in a drop, the Berrion Brown Vanderbilt drop. So that's not on Garrett, obviously. But the big thing is when you look back at last year, the chart I'm about to show you will further prove that Joe Sloan was unbelievably lucky as an LSU play caller. Because third and longs are really hard to be good at. So what this is going to show you is, boom, LSU this season, last year, third and seven or longer, was the best team in college football. This year, they are the worst at converting third and longs in all of college football. I didn't know that they were the worst. And as you could see, it is by far the worst in college football. They are the only college football offense, the only P4 offense at that, under 15% in third and long conversions. So what does this chart tell you? Well, number one, a big reason why we're so good on third and longs is because of Kyren Lacy and Mason Taylor. They're not on our team anymore. They converted a lot of them. We also don't have Will Campbell anymore. Will Campbell and Emory Jones. Who becomes the most dangerous person on the field in third and long? Well, it's an edge rusher because I could pin my ears back and get home, especially knowing that the quarterback can't run. I can rush in either direction. I could go inside and lose contain. I don't have to worry about it as much. So we went from being the best third, one of the best third and long offenses the SEC has ever seen, to the worst. Joe Sloan's offense last year was propped up by third and long conversions. In other words, moving forward, if you see an offense that is good behind the sticks, that is not going to succeed in the long term. It never has, and it never will. And I warned you guys. That's why I went and got Saeem on. I wanted him because he looks at this stuff all the time from just a numbers perspective. You saw also it was to the right. So we not only had a low third and long percentage, we also are in that spot a lot. So that lets you know how rancid this offense was. All right. So Garrett has regressed in this area, even though some of it is drops. And a lot of it is, if you don't have Will Campbell holding it up on the backside to your blind side, it changes a lot. It does. Okay. So it's not a victory lap. I wish I was wrong, because there was also a piece of me, and it's shown up on film, that Garrett is a really good third and long quarterback. So what does that mean? That means the thing that he was the best at, statistically this year, he's been the worst. And that's not all his fault. First and second down success also plays into it. So why do I want Michael Van Buren now? Well, I don't know what Garrett is doing well now. I really don't. A lot of it, once again, is not his fault. It's the worst offensive environment ever at LSU. Worse than Anthony Jennings. Any of that. We have no identity, none of it. I am so glad that we will get to see Garrett under a new general on Saturday. Not this Saturday, but the next versus Alabama. But I am ready for Michael Van Buren. I am. Now, of course, Frank Wilson said in his teleconference that he will stick with Garrett Nussmeier. He will. Okay. What a freaking day. What a freaking day. Now, last thing before we get to more of your comments. I love Reese Davis. He's an Alabama grad, but he might be my favorite Alabama grad. So he was doing a media thing, and he brought up a rivalry near and dear to my heart. That College Game Day is thinking about going to the Battle of the Ravine on Rivalry Week, which is a rivalry between two Arkansas colleges at D2 level, at the D2 level, where their stadiums are 2 minutes from one another. 2 minutes. And they walk across. It's chilling. It's so cool. I personally never have been because, well, I work in D1 football. I go to LSU games. It's not an elitist thing. It's just, you know, I've always been at LSU games on rivalry week or calling a high school game or whatever. But I was already planning potentially on going because my next door neighbor is a 4-year starter for Wichita, one of the schools. So, man, I love College Game Day so much. I can't help but always love this program. If they go to a D2 program rivalry, that would be nuts. That would be absolutely nuts. Okay. Mike wants me to stop and go find the black shirt. Oh, man, I can't do it. Can't do it. All right, we'll take a few more here. Sacks or drive killers. That's something else, Josh. Like, what that chart also told me is I know most people consider like Will Campbell having a down year last year. I just don't. I know I'm a Will homer, but I just don't believe that. I'm serious. Like, I know Will's had people close to him on this channel before, but I have personally never shaken Will's hand before. Go look at a lot of those third and longs. It was Will just sticking it to people. Dude is so underrated, man. I don't even believe he's underrated. I think most people know how elite he was, but dear Lord, man. I will tell you, one of my buddies at Florida lives in Gainesville. They are happy with what transpired today. Jumping for joy. You better believe they're using this to their advantage. Okay? I'm just saying, man. Alexander, you don't. I know this is like sacrilegious, but you don't need the data. You do not need the data. Bauer Sharp is. This shouldn't even be a Bauer Sharp stream, but God. That Oklahoma offense has to be the worst offense ever in the SEC for him to have caught 40 passes in it. Dear Lord, Bauer Sharp has been, dude, I don't even know where to begin. Long catch versus Florida was nice. Really good play call. One of Sloan's best play calls of the season. And he's done some other nice things. The hustle play versus Clemson was great. But why didn't he have to hustle him down? Because he fumbled. Go. Obviously, you would like to think that, Pegasus. Let's go to Rod. Rod says he's got the Don's number. He's got 45, 47's number. We're getting Lane, says Rod. So WAP made me go viral because I tweeted out that Whopper rant. Woo! That Whopper rant was epic. Top five moment in PHL history. I hope Miss Whopper Jr. or Mrs. Whopper and Whopper Jr. are doing great. I don't think it goes down, but I do think it could. And obviously that's a cop out answer. I do think it's a tad bit overblown. But you know. I just think more so for me, you just don't handle it like that, right? Like, you know, the one thing about a politician like Jeff Landry is there's just so much of this like performative stuff, right? I don't think that's political in nature. I'm talking about in the scope of sports. But yeah, I mean, I'm not talking about Scott like that, man. I'm not. Let's go to Blake. Bauer Sharp's average predicted points added is -0.108. That's all you need to know. Well, Blake, send me where you're getting that analytic, baby. Let's go, Blake. PowerHourLSU@gmail.com. Where do you get your predicted points added metrics from? Game on Paper, I know, provides it. Tyler's been sick. Hope you feel better. A 30 monster per week allowance. It has to be in a bed by 10 p.m. What if the reason I was going to Baton Rouge is to be a part of the search committee? How would you feel about that? Jeff, I'm open. I will work pro bono. Actually, if you pay me in Rotolo's calzones, I'm down. Let's go to Boris. I didn't touch too much on your Tommy Moffitt super chat earlier, and that's on me. I was still Googling who Mr. Chesty Puller was. And sure enough, actually sent me a long excerpt. So, Boris, once again, I appreciate your support of PHL at all always. I've heard so far, all the former players I heard so far had thoughts about the firing of Coach Moffitt. I hope he wants back in too. So Tommy Moffitt's a contract allegedly is up. I don't know. I read that somewhere. Would LSU take him back? Well, if Saban were to come back, sure. I do know of a player on LSU's team who 99.9% was at LSU because of Tommy Moffitt. Okay. So, you know, I talked to this young man quite a bit, and he, an older man now, I should say, and he swears up and down that he's different, and he's played at a few different places. And obviously the former players bringing his name up as much is what it is. But I can also see Tommy as someone that's been at LSU for 20 years, not being someone that wants to hop back to where he was. And obviously, if Texas A&M does actually do some special things, he's going to get a pretty big raise. If there was one thing Brian Kelly did that was honorable, and there was a few other things that he did, but if I am not mistaken, in 2023, he took a little less than the $500,000 bonus for making a bowl game. And thank God that he did. Because 9-3 with Jaden Daniels as your quarterback should never happen. Never. 10-2, I'll take. 11-1. Yeah, undefeated, you probably should have been undefeated with Jaden. But in all essence, you should have been 11-1, but you weren't. Let's take a few more. I want to make this, I'll save a few rants. For later, but I want to make this a more chat focused thing. Let's go to Aviation Skeptic. I'm from out of state, but this is by far the best channel for LSU football news and analysis. Lively chat too. I love it. Well, Aviation Skeptic or Skeptic? So are you skeptical of planes? That's an interesting name. Or is it septic? Is that how you pronounce or spell septic? So I want to share a funny story. So normally about an hour in, we go into a few things to lighten the mood. So I'm doing a Spanish wedding on Friday. In most Spanish events that I do, they want mostly it's English speaking Spanish folks that are getting married or want a Spanish or whatever. but they want some Spanish music. Every time I've done anything for Spanish, Mexicans, Latinos, when I play the Spanish music, the dance floor just gets so unfreaking believably lit. Harder than any Boosie song that I've ever played, and I play Boosie at every wedding I do. The Spanish stuff hits hard. The 17 años. Whoo! Hits hard. But so I did my final call for the wedding I'm doing on Friday, and I didn't know how to pronounce C-U-M-B-I-A. Okay. And that's it. That's the style of Spanish music that celebrates life, right? So how do you think you pronounce C-U-M-B-I-A? Okay. I thought it was cumbia. I thought that's how you said it. Cumbia. Time for some cumbia music. You're going to cumbia to this song. Thank God I did not say that on Friday. It's cumbia or cumbia. Cumbia. Cumbia music. Yeah, hate all me. Yeah, it's if you're a country fan, turn off the Kenny Chesney for tonight. And I'm not talking about turn on Despacito. You better put on some Suavemente. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. Turn on that Sabrina Carpenter tonight. Because I know that's a popular artist in my chat. You change it. You put some Selena in that thing. So Adam, please, it's cumbia. 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 I'm excited, dude. I'm so freaking excited. I love it. It's obviously not the music I listen to, but once you play it, it goes crazy. I just got a text from a supporter. I'm ready for baseball season. F baseball season. That's going to come or coom pretty soon. I'm ready for Big Four. I'm ready for Big Four. Gosh, she dropped her latest hit. Woo! I think it was like an NBA Youngboy remix. Oh, Big Foe. I'm paraphrasing one of her lines. I'm racking up them W's. The NBA comes after. I was like, no, you didn't just say that. Did you get that? I'm racking up the W's. The NBA comes after. I was like, whoa, Flage, that is a freaking bar. Are you freaking kidding me? That is just a nasty line. She dropped a few LSU references. God, I love me some Flage Johnson. Whew. Every time anyone meets Flage, It's like glowing remarks. She's signing autographs. She felt guilty that, like, her line for the meet and greet for the free thing, she couldn't sign every auto. She's the freaking Beatles, man. I know I'm not saying the line correctly, but racking up some W's. The NBA comes after? In an NBA young boy, it's just one of those. These nuts in your face. My boy, you can't go live when Blake goes live. Nobody's going to watch you. Oh, nobody? There's, according to this, 143 people are watching this. There's 123 viewers right now on YouTube. I guess that means nobody. I'm a big supporter of Blake's channel. I wouldn't have dedicated a gazillion hours of doing a show and 1,000 hours of our private conversations. But yeah, go watch Blake. Go watch other stuff. I referenced another show a little bit earlier. But I appreciate the YouTube tips. I keep that in mind next time I do a video. But yeah, I get that a lot, though. Why are you guys live on at the same time? I go live at 6, he goes live at 7. Now, on Thursdays, I think we go live at the same time, but that's because of Thursday night football. But there's a lot of different LSU shows that are on at the same time. A channel, a network way bigger than mine does their show at 6 as well. So I think I'm doing okay as a solo creator. But I guess I should sign off. You know what's funny? Creators actually do laugh at the, well, you were on when he was on. Okay. That's the beauty thing about YouTube. These nuts in your face, guess what? You can start a live stream right now and see if you can outdo me. And you probably will. I suck at this. I suck at this. I actually do get messages that I should quit, but it is what it is. I just want a $50 bill. I said you would read it. I'm going to send you half. Okay. Well, I don't know what that means exactly, Mr. Dez. No, I love the trolls. Bring them on. I don't think I'm a big enough channel to have haters, but I apparently have some. That's okay. But I really do mean this, Jeffrey. I don't. If today ends all the Landry shenanigans, so be it. Okay. Now, what I would say is, as far as the Landry shenanigans are concerned, like I said at the beginning, we are put in some difficult spots with some of Jeff's commentary. I want to include, as far as the context of everything that we discussed, that during the women's college basketball tournament, all right, the highest leverage spot you could be in the sport, we were in the middle of a national anthem controversy. I won't get into the rights or wrongs of it, but Jeff Landry did not make things easier to the situation. It's just the truth. And I hated that because I know how much that bothered Kim, who loves the country. So, and our team that loves the country. So, I mean, it's this has become something. Mario, I will skedaddle. I thought these nuts in your face was going to send me a $50 bill. I'm waiting for it. We say hi to Madeira. I really appreciate you, Boris, and Shownuff. Thank you guys so much. And let's go to TJ, who's in Texas. Hey, see, I doubt LSU would do it, but what's my feelings on Eric Morris at North Texas? All right. So I've done some research on Eric. Put on a great show this past weekend versus the Charlotte 49ers, the 1-6 Charlotte 49ers, I should add. Runs a fun offense. He's 40 years old. He has a background playing at Texas Tech, so he would come in with some air raid principles, you would like to think, with you know his background playing at Texas Tech. I like him. I think he's good. I do. It is a radical step up, though. It really is. I would think Summerall would be hired before him. But, you know, to your point, TJ, if LSU wanted to do the model that we brought up a little bit earlier with the Peter Burns tweet, he would fall in line and would probably be a little bit cheaper than that. Now, what you can also bring up as far as Eric Morris is concerned, does he take a play calling job at LSU under a head coach? He probably does at the right price if you really wanted him to be the guy. So it would be an interesting conversation, to say the least. Let's go to the Lane Train Express. He says, LMAO, LSU fans have been telling me for days, all capital on days, that's a shout at the Darius days, that Florida had no chance at Kiffin and that they were the big dogs who had more money and were the better job in situation. What a clown show, NBR. Oh, well, goodness gracious. Thank goodness a Florida Gator fan could tell me what a clown show looks like because you guys would definitely know. I don't think any team in the SEC would know what a bozo job, a coaching search can be. It would be a program led by Scott Strickland, who had so many leaks, I was about to call a plumber to Gainesville. Because my goodness gracious, every reporter who has an ounce of a source heard that the guillotine was out the weekend that Florida beat Mississippi State. That was probably one of the worst handled firings I can remember. And Scott Strickland, when it comes to hiring and firing, whew. Now you want to talk about a clown show. Florida has more money than LSU, clearly. Ha, 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 says the Lane Train. You know what the lamest thing is? The lamest Shiite in college football are fan bases that talk about, we got more money than you. It ain't yours, bitch. It's not yours. You're never touching it. It probably cost you more to make that AI Lane Kiffin image than you make in a day. Lane Train Express, whatever your name is. Why in the world are you worried about Florida having a few hundred million more than LSU, which is maybe true. I don't know. You got more money than you. That's cool. I'd be like me with the Apple phone. Hey, look, everyone, I got an Apple phone. This thing is making Tim Cook a billionaire. Let's celebrate Tim Cook on the stream because he's a billionaire. The guy that runs Apple has more money than the guy that runs Samsung. Joke's on you. I love it. Brian, welcome. Saban AD, Kiffin head coach, Mullet Man as the OC. Pittman offensive line coach in Baton Rouge. Sure. Make the dream team, Brian. I like it. All right, y'all. That'll do it for me. We will be live hopefully somewhere tomorrow night. I might just do it from wherever. I'll probably just barge into a business and say, I'm setting up right here and doing a show from right here. But we'll be live from somewhere. I kind of want to do a get together though, in a quick one in BR tomorrow night. Big thanks to once again all our supers. We talked, we touched on that a minute ago, and don't forget on Patreon. We have all kinds of extra goodies. You have the Discord, all that stuff. Patreon.com/LSU football. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. Tonight, we are doing steaks. Let's go.